This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبع هداه أما بعد. We are now in the final hour of Ramadan. And the month of Ramadan has gone by as if it was only a day or a few days. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said when He spoke about the legislation of fasting, the verse that we heard so many times, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. O you who believe, fasting has become legislated, prescribed for you, as it was legislated and prescribed for those before you, so that you achieve taqwa. And then what does Allah say? أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودَاتٍ. Days. A limited number of days. And that is exactly what Ramadan has been, a limited number of days. It was only yesterday that it felt like we were welcoming the month of Ramadan, and then the month began, and now we are bidding farewell to the month of Ramadan. And this is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regards to His creation. This is Allah's sunnah, that days go by, years come and go, time goes by. This is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why on the Day of Judgment, the people, they will say to one another, as Allah has mentioned in various places in the Quran, such as in Surah Taha, يَتَخَافَتُونَ بَيْنَهُمْ إِلَّا بِثْتُمْ إِلَّا عَشْرًا. They will whisper to one another on the Day of Judgment, saying that you were only there in the dunya for 10 days. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, نَحْنُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا يَقُولُونَ إِذْ يَقُولُ أَمْثَلُهُمْ طَرِيقَةً إِلَّا بِثْتُمْ إِلَّا يَوْمًا. Allah says, we know what they say. And the best of them say that we were only there for one day. And so it feels like it was only one day that they spent in this dunya. And so that is the reality. That is the reality. And so Ramadan, it came and it went by. And that is how this dunya is. In bidding farewell to this month of Ramadan, I just want to share a few points. A few points of reminder as we count down the final minutes of this blessed month of Ramadan. The first and most important point that I wanted to mention is that we strove hard during this month of Ramadan. Fasting, praying, Taraweeh, Qiyam, making dua, reciting the Quran, giving sadaqah, doing all sorts of good deeds, hoping for the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But how many of us can guarantee that they will have that reward? In other words, how many of us can guarantee that his deeds have been accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And so, we strove hard, doing all kinds of good deeds. But the more important question is, have our deeds been accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And so, the righteous of this ummah and the true believers, they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doing various acts of righteousness while fearing that what they have done has not been accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he mentions the characteristics of the believers in Surah Al-Mu'minun, he says, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْتَوْنَ مَا آتَوْا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةً. And they are those, the believers, who give what they give, وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةً, while their hearts are fearful. Their hearts are fearful of what? Aisha radiallahu anha, she asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam concerning this verse. She asked, does it refer to those who drink alcohol? Those who steal? Major sins. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, no, ya Aisha. Rather, they are those who fast and pray and give sadaqah while what? While fearing that none of that will be accepted from them. While fearing that none of that will be accepted from them. And so this is a reality, my dear brothers and sisters. And that is why the Salaf, after Ramadan, they used to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they used to make dua. They used to make dua for an entire 6 months that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept what they have done in the month of Ramadan. Then, the 6 months before the next Ramadan, they would ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow them to witness the next Ramadan. And so the reason for that is their fear that what they did, all of their good deeds, that it will not be accepted from them. And that is why even many of the Salaf, among the Sahaba and those who came after them, there are many statements of theirs in this regard. And so Ali radiallahu an, he said, be more concerned about the acceptance of the deed rather than being concerned about performing the deed itself. Don't be so concerned about performing many, many good deeds. Don't be so concerned about the deed itself. Rather, be concerned more about that deed being accepted. And then Ali radiallahu anhu, he said, have you not heard Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only accepts, He only accepts from the muttaqoon, those who have the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Sheikh bin Baz, may Allah have mercy upon him and upon all the scholars of Islam, he was once doing tafsir of the Quran, and he came upon the verse in Surah Al-Baqarah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said concerning Ibrahim alayhi salam and his son Ismail building the Kaaba. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَعِيلُ رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا. When Ibrahim alayhi salam and his son, they were building the Kaaba and they were raising the foundations of the Kaaba, what did Ibrahim alayhi salam say? He said, رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا. Our Lord, accept from us. Accept this huge good deed that we're doing for you. And so Sheikh bin Baz, when this verse was recited and he was supposed to comment on it, instead he started to weep and he cried for more than 5 minutes. And then all he said was, أَمْرٌ مَخْصُوصٌ لِعَبْدٍ مَخْصُوصٌ بِعَمَلٍ مَخْصُوصٌ فِي مَكَانٍ مَخْصُوصٌ وَمَعَ ذَلِكَ يَسْأَلُ اللَّهِ الْقَبُولِ. He said that here was a command, a special command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What was the command? A special command to build the Kaaba, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لِعَبْدٍ مَخْصُوصٌ, for a special servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the best prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his son. بِعَمَلٍ مَخْصُوصٌ, for a specific and special deed to build one of the most sacred places on earth. فِي مَكَانٍ مَخْصُوصٌ, in a special place, Mecca, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose. And then he said, وَمَعَ ذَلِكَ يَسْأَلُ اللَّهِ الْقَبُولِ. After all that, he asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for acceptance. And then the Shaykh, he burst out crying. And so, if this is one of the best human beings to walk the face of the earth, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept such a great deed, then how about us, who have been asked far less than that? And so we should be more concerned about the acceptance of our deeds more than performing the deeds themselves. And that is why every single good deed, it should be ended with istighfar, seeking the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why even the wahi, even the revelation that was sent to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam over a span of 23 years, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala end it off with? Or what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala command the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam with at the end of his huge mission? إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجَ. When the victory of Allah comes and you see the people have entered into the deen in droves, in large numbers, فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ, then at that time, praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. واستغفر, and seek forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا. And so this is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ending his mission, and yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding him at the end of it to seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we need to go back to the first day of Ramadan and think about what we did. Think about our sins. And think about even the good deeds that we did and our shortcomings in these good deeds. And then seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. Then move on to the second day and the third day. And then move on to the next 10 days and the final 10 days. Think about what we have done. Go back and review what we have done. And then ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us for our shortcomings in what has gone by so far in this month of Ramadan. And so istighfar, seeking forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is like the stamp of approval for our deeds, for having them accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so if you want your good deeds to be accepted, no matter what they be, whether they be the obligatory acts or whether they be the recommended and the nawafil, whatever they be, after we have completed them, we should turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking His forgiveness in whatever we have done. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He commands His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with a great command. فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Know, this is a command to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Know, O Muhammad, that there is none who deserves to be worshipped except Allah. La ilaha illallah. And then what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ. And seek forgiveness for your sin. What is the relationship between these two things? Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands His Prophet to have knowledge of La ilaha illallah. And then He commands him to seek forgiveness for his sin. Having knowledge of La ilaha illallah, is this a sin? Is it something that requires us to ask Allah forgiveness for? What is the relationship between the two? Why has istighfar been mentioned after, you know, such a great deed, and that is having knowledge of La ilaha illallah? The reason is, my dear brothers and sisters, the reason is because La ilaha illallah, the greatest deed, the only deed that causes a person to enter into Islam, and the only thing that causes him to leave it. This statement is not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without al-istighfar. And so you could say La ilaha illallah with your tongue, but having said that, yes, it brings you into Islam, but then after that, you will have many sins. And so it requires you to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seek His forgiveness. Similarly, salah, it won't be accepted unless we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His forgiveness. And that is why at the end of our salah we seek forgiveness, al-istighfar. Similarly, as-siyam, fasting, will not be accepted until we seek Allah's forgiveness for what has gone by during this month of fasting. And similarly, all good deeds, they end and they are concluded with al-istighfar, seeking the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, how do we know if our good deeds have been accepted? Whether it be during this month of Ramadan or in general, how do we know that our good deeds are accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? First and foremost, there are two conditions for any good deed to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first is al-ikhlas, ikhlas al-niyya, and the second is al-ittiba' or al-mutaba'ah. And so the first condition for any good deed to be accepted is having the right intention. Doing it sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not for anyone else. And so if you perform a deed, then do it for Allah alone. And that is why the kuffar, the mushrikun, none of their deeds will be accepted from them, no matter how many good deeds they may have done in their life. No matter how many times they prayed, no matter how much good deeds that they may have done, whether it be charity, whether it be feeding the poor, whatever good deed it may be, it will never be accepted from them. Why? Because it was not done sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so this is the most important condition for any good deed to be accepted, that it be done sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Included in that is that if you do a deed that is, it seems that it is being done for the sake of Allah, but in your heart, it is not sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do I mean by that? What I mean by that is that a person, he does a deed that seems to be for the sake of Allah, but in reality, it is done showing off. And so this person, he has not made his intention sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, his intention is a mix between having it for Allah and for the people. And so we have to fear falling into this sin of a riya'. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that it is the subtle kind of shirk. It is the hidden kind of shirk that he fears for his ummah more than the major shirk, the shirk of prostrating to idols and worshipping other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second condition for any deed to be accepted is that it be done in accordance to how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants it to be done. Meaning that you have performed this deed in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam have taught us. And so you follow the sunnah in regards to that particular deed. And you make sure that you have done it in the proper manner. And so you have to make sure that whatever deed it is, that it is done in accordance to the sunnah, not in opposition to the sunnah. And so these are the two conditions for any good deed to be accepted. And so you should ask yourself, the deeds that I have performed in the month of Ramadan, did they fulfill these two conditions? Another way of knowing whether or not our deeds have been accepted in this month of Ramadan is by continuing the good that we have started in this month of Ramadan. And so once the days of Ramadan have gone by, it doesn't mean that the days of good deeds have now come to an end. Rather, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the best of deeds are those that are permanent. The best of deeds are those that are continuous. Those that continue, not those that a person does and then he stops. And so after the month of Ramadan, we need to strive hard to continue the good that we had begun, whether it be fasting, whether it be Qiyamul Layl, whether it be recitation of the Qur'an, whether it be giving in sadaqah. And so a sign that your deeds have been accepted is that they continue after the month of Ramadan. Also, a sign that your deeds have been accepted is that after the month of Ramadan, your life has actually changed. And so, the very objective of fasting in the month of Ramadan, you have achieved. And that objective is none other than attaining the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the consciousness of Allah, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout your life. And so if you have achieved taqwa during this month of Ramadan, and this continues afterwards, and change has come in your life, then this is a sign that your deeds in the month of Ramadan were accepted bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. And so this is basically a few words regarding acceptance of our deeds. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our deeds during this month of Ramadan. In the remaining few minutes of this blessed month of Ramadan, as we count down the last few minutes, there are a few other points that I wanted to share that are very, very important at this particular time. First of all, Zakatul Fitr. Zakatul Fitr is obligatory upon each and every single Muslim. And the wisdom behind giving Zakatul Fitr, we can say it is twofold. First of all, giving Zakatul Fitr, it is meant to purify us of our shortcomings during the month of Ramadan. And so as we mentioned, we did not truly worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the worship that He most deserves. And there were shortcomings throughout this month of Ramadan, whether it be in our fasting, whether it be in our salah, in our qiyamul layl, whether it be in our recitation of the Quran, whether it be giving and feeding the poor, etc. Whatever good deed it was, there was shortcoming. This we have to admit. And so Zakatul Fitr is meant to purify us of those shortcomings. And that is why the very meaning of zakah is purification. And so we give of our wealth to purify us of our sins and our shortcomings. And the other wisdom behind giving Zakatul Fitr is bringing joy to the poor and the needy. And so when we are enjoying ourselves on the day of Eid with our family and we are having a good time, there are those in the community who don't have what we have, the poor and the needy, whether it be in our community or whether it be elsewhere in the Muslim Ummah. And so when we give Zakatul Fitr to those who are in need, we are bringing joy to them, and this brings a sense of unity in the Ummah. And so this is one Ummah. Whatever a part of it feels, the rest of it is supposed to feel. Now, there are two times to give Zakatul Fitr. One is the preferred time, and the other is the permissible time. And so the preferred time to give Zakatul Fitr is in the morning of Eid, after Salatul Fajr, until you go out for Salatul Eid. This is the preferred time, this is the sunnah. However, if you cannot, then it is permissible to give Zakatul Fitr a day or two before Eid. Now, if somebody misses giving Zakatul Fitr and he ends up giving it after Salatul Eid, then it does not count as Zakatul Fitr. Rather, it counts as regular sadaqah. He'll be rewarded for it, but it won't count as Zakatul Fitr. And so Zakatul Fitr is obligatory. It is obligatory upon every single Muslim, the young, the old, both men and women. And some scholars have even said that it is preferred to give it for the fetus in the womb of the mother. And it is the guardian of the household, the guardian of the family, who gives it, even on behalf of his wife. And giving Zakat al-Fitr is sunnah in one's own country, in one's own community. However, if the need of it is greater elsewhere, in another country, where Muslims are suffering, whether it be because of war, because of poverty, whatever it be, then it is permissible. Rather, it is more preferable to give it where it is in need most. This is regarding Zakatul Fitr. After that, we move on to another very important point, and that is regarding At-Takbir. And so, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after mentioning the verses of fasting, He ended off by saying, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. After mentioning that the traveler, the sick, it is not obligatory upon them to fast, rather they could make up their fast afterwards. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after mentioning this, He says, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He wants easiness for us. And He does not want us to be in difficulty. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلِتُكْمِلُ الْعِدَّةَ وَلِتُكَبِّرُ اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. And so Allah says that He also wants that we complete the number of days, meaning 29 or 30 days of Ramadan, He wants us to complete them. وَلِتُكْمِلُ الْعِدَّةَ وَلِتُكَبِّرُ اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ. And He wants us to glorify Him by saying takbir for what He has guided us to. وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. And so that perhaps we may thank Him and be grateful to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. For what? For having facilitated fasting and praying in this month of Ramadan. And so it is sunnah to start the takbir of Eid the night before Eid. And so with the sunset of the last day of Ramadan, it is prescribed to begin the takbir. And this goes on until Salatul Eid, until the Imam comes forth to lead Salatul Eid. And as for the form of the takbir, how do we say the takbir? Various forms have been mentioned, and all of them are permissible. However, the most authentic that has been transmitted to us is what Abd al-Razzaq in his Musannaf has narrated with an authentic chain going back to Salman al-Farisi, who said, he said, كبر الله, glorify Allah, say takbir, and then he said, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbaru Kabira. So to say Allahu Akbar three times and then say Kabira. This is the most authentic form. However, other forms are permissible. So whether you say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Walillahi alhamd, then even this is permissible. Now this is regarding takbir, and it should be said out loud, whether it be in the masjid, whether it be outside, wherever it be. After that, we move on to some remaining sunnahs regarding the day of Eid. And so it is from the sunnah to eat something before you head out in the morning for Salatul Eid. And the sunnah is to eat an odd number of dates. To eat an odd number of dates. This is specifically for Eid al-Fitr. Eid al-Fitr. And so that is because no one should be fasting tomorrow on the day of Eid. And so in order to show that, it is recommended to eat something before you go out for Salatul Eid. And as I mentioned, the sunnah is to eat an odd number of dates. Among the sunnahs on the day of Eid is to head out in the morning, having washed oneself having performed ghusl and put on perfume and having worn the best of clothes. And as for the women, then they should not go out in the best of clothes showing it to the public. Rather, they should, you know, still be in their hijab and not show of their beauty what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded them to conceal. As for Salatul Eid itself, then the scholars have differed whether it is obligatory upon each and every single Muslim or not. And so some have said that it is simply mustahab, it is recommended, it is encouraged, while others have said that it is wajib, it is obligatory. The more correct opinion, and Allah knows best, is that which many scholars have chosen, among them Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, and that is that Salatul Eid is obligatory upon every single Muslim, except those who have a valid excuse. Except those who have a valid excuse, such as the sick who are in a sickness that they cannot move. For example, they're in a hospital, etc. So every single Muslim should come out, including the women, including the young, including the elderly. Also from the Sunnah regarding the day of Eid is that you head out for Salatul Eid from one path and you return from another. And that is in order to meet as many Muslims as one can on the way, and in order to spread the takbir of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wherever one goes. Finally, tomorrow being the day of Eid, it is actually the day of two Eids. And so tomorrow is Yawm al-Jumu'ah, it is a Friday, and it is also Yawm al-Eid. And so when this occurs, when the day of Eid coincides with a Friday, we say in such a case that one prayer counts for the other. What that means is that if you have prayed Salatul Eid, then you don't have to pray Salatul Jumu'ah. However, if you end up missing Salatul Eid, then Salatul Jumu'ah becomes obligatory upon you. However, this doesn't mean that, you know, we can choose. This doesn't mean that we should choose and say, you know, should I go for Salatul Eid or should I go for Salatul Jumu'ah? No, we say that Salatul Eid is preferred. And so Salatul Eid should be given precedence over Salat al-Jumu'ah. However, if one ends up missing, for whatever reason, Salatul Eid, then Salatul Jumu'ah becomes obligatory upon him. However, if he comes to the masjid and there's no one there to lead Salatul Jumu'ah, then in this case we say that Salatul Jumu'ah for him has become waived, and so he should pray Salatul Dhuhr. As for everyone else who has prayed Salatul Eid, inshallah, all of us who will pray tomorrow, Salatul Jumu'ah is not obligatory upon us. Rather, Salatul Dhuhr is obligatory upon us. So no one should say, I've prayed Salatul Eid and now there's no more Salah for me. No. Salatul Dhuhr is obligatory in place of Salatul Jumu'ah. No, for those who have not prayed Salatul Eid, then they will pray Salatul Jumu'ah with a khutbah. This is specifically for them. This is specifically for those who have not prayed, who have not prayed Salatul Eid. As for those who have prayed, then they should pray Dhuhr. They should come to the masjid and they should pray Salatul Dhuhr separately. And those who have not prayed, then they will pray Salatul Jum'ah. As I said, most likely they will not find anyone to pray Salatul Jum'ah with them. Therefore, Salatul Jum'ah becomes waived for them and they will join everyone else with Salat al-Dhuhr, and Allah knows best. And so in conclusion, we have come to the end of the blessed month of Ramadan. The time has come for our guest to depart. And although it is leaving, although our guest is leaving, it has left something behind with us. And that is what has been written of our deeds. And so the only thing that remains with us after Ramadan has left is what has been written of our deeds. Do not wait to receive the reward of your deeds before reaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do I mean by that? I mean, do not wait for your reward in this dunya. Don't ask for your reward in this dunya for whatever good deeds you have done. Why? Because what you will find with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of reward, nothing can replace it. وَمَا تُقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُمْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ تَجِدُوهُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. Whatever you have put forth of good, you will find it where? Not in this dunya, rather in the next. You will find it where? You will find it with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. تَجِدُوهُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. You will find it with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us our fasting and our praying and our sadaqat and whatever good deeds we have done in the month of Ramadan. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to conclude this month of ours with al-istighfar, seeking His forgiveness for our shortcomings. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to see and witness Ramadan many years ahead of us while we are in a state of good health and in a state of high iman. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as He has concluded this month of Ramadan for us, to conclude our lives in the best of states. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us steadfastness in this dunya until the day that He decides to take away our souls. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the best of this dunya and the best of the akhirah. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasanah wa fil akhirati hasanah wa qina adhab an-nar wa sallallahu wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.